Now, he healing can only come through faith. Faith, not in my faith, but in your faith, the individual faith. I might have faith in Jesus to be saved. There's another man who does not have faith to be saved. He cannot be saved until he has faith. I have faith in healing. Maybe you do not have faith in healing. Well, that isn't for you. Someone met me not long ago and said, Brother Brandon, he's a minister of a church who does not believe in divine healing. I will not criticize any church in anything they believe. Everybody has a right just like we have the right to believe anything that we want to. And so, teach whatever you think is right. If you do not believe in divine healing, then if I didn't believe it, I wouldn't be here. I'd be doing something else. But the minister said to me, he said, Brother Brandon, if God had met you and did you that, the praise of the sick, that you could go out here to the hospital and say, all you sick people, rise up, follow me out. And if you're truly a man sent from God, that everyone doesn't follow you out there. But I said, well, brother, was you called of God to preach the gospel of the saving grace of Christ? He said, I was. I said, then as you go down here to the saloon, tell all those drunk people and all, come follow me out, you're all saved. He said, I could if they believed me. I said, so could I. If they would believe me. But there it is, if you believe, it's only by faith we believe. Signs and wonders are done. Surely they are prophetic gifts and so forth. Many people might not want to believe that. He said, that man said, I do not believe it. I said, it wasn't for you, it was for believers. That's what it's meant for, not for unbelievers, but for those who believe. These signs shall follow them that believe. And that's how divine healing is based. Sometimes God does permit special things to happen to steal a faith of believers. We all believe in a measure, but maybe some has a little more faith in it. You have, while I'm in the preliminary part of the services, while we're waiting for the crowds together, I take the privilege of doing just a little speaking. So, in order to let the people kind of understand what is the operation of the divine gift. Now, the ministers and so forth, they go over and over and over again. But yet, I feel like it's my duty to the people. And now, some of them that makes them have to hold over a little while. I'm sorry to have to do that. But I would rather you hold over just for a while, stay a little longer reading and really get healed, than to run through something and not know what you're doing and go on out and then be criticized in the meeting and so forth. If you were down here at Mayo Clinic, or some hospital, they told you they had a month, you'd say, if you wanted to find it, but that's all right. But this is where we're trying to get to the people, and anyone, divine healing can reach with every person. And every person that is a Christian has a right to pray for the sick. That's right. If there's any among you sick, call the elders. That's the deacons of the church. And then he said, confess your fault for another and pray one for the other. That's everyone. And ask any man, any person, you don't have to wait for some divine healing service, something to see. That's not God's program. If you're sick, get some good Christian that help you pray, so you have faith in that person. That's it. And that's all. Call your pastor. That's what he's for. To come and pray with you. If he's a godly man, which I believe that all true ministers are godly men. They're all born-again Christians. They're godly people. That's true. And every one of them has a perfect life. Now, there may be things that God has added to the church to stimulate faith, but now I'm gone. Healing isn't gone. Healing ought to be more than it was before we come here. See? That's the purpose, is to get the people in the mind, in the spirit of the latter days. We're in the latter days. You believe that? We are. Well, the world is in the spirit of the latter days, but the church is not in the latter days spirit yet. In other words, we may be in a portion of it. But God wants his church so in the spirit so that he couldn't just any word of God and believe it. See? Latter day reign of the world My, look at the place of eating, drinking, marriage, intermarriage, and all the immoral things in the world. The devil sure got this group in the latter days, spirit. But we ministers haven't got the church yet in that spirit. And we must be in that condition in order to be caught away in the rapture when Jesus comes. That's why I remember one time down in the museum, a great lover of art and nature. I saw a picture and I was wondering how much that picture cost. And it had a value on it, the original picture. The day I seen the picture, it's the city here, Christ, the unseen guest of the house. I went in and was surprised me. And it's just a photograph off of the original masterpiece. And the masterpiece was valued way in the thousands and thousands of dollars. The artist said, well, the man who was like that, but a man his lifetime to take that picture. And before any picture could be painted, or before it's painted, any masterpiece, first it has to go through the hall of critics. Pass all these cities, and then if it passes those cities, then it's hung in the Hall of Fame. Which Bible is leading the nation? There you go. The Pentecostal church came over a million persons, right here, over a million persons. Now, we're in a lot in a hurry about. A million persons, right here. Now, come on, see the baptism of all cities, and pass it. A little church is not long after nothing. The people begin to laugh at him, make fun of it. People begin to laugh at him. They call you old. I myself, I was never married that bishop. I was never missionary. I come out of that. I'm out of town. I'll say something. I'll say something. I'll say something. I'll say something. You don't know how good it feels to me, too, to know that I have brothers and sisters. Burdens and affairs. But anyhow, you know, does scatter this culture. It's just one for the other. Anybody knows that you're eating anything, but the devil watches your back. Now, notice what the little church is pushed off in the house. It's all over the world. But all down through there, God was seeing the picture. The day of one of these mornings, he's going to hang in the Hall of Fame. And all those who laughed and made fun were clear when she rose up. I'm so glad I remember looking tonight. I'm happy to be here and to have people who believe in God, believe in and His miraculous work in His second coming again. Now, I wish to speak to you about a little something here to help you along. That is concerning divine meaning. If you do not approach divine meaning right, you will fail to receive your peace. And many, many times, people want to be the first one. What would you say as the person in the person who wants better than the person who loves 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 the person. Sometimes the meeting goes over an hour and 30 minutes. Oh my, what a horrible meeting. Yes, it's good there. But my friend, you never have long to come to this. You remember here the transfer settlement off the back. And if he hadn't got faith enough for eating with our body, how are we going to arrest him? Well, this mortal must take on more lives to be changed. And signs and wonders are being done in order that the people would get faith for eating at night. Each of practice is before the tribulation, so the church goes before the tribulation. Each was a type of the church. And no one knew that city each was gone, the tribulation was on, because that was before the fact. And remember, we have a rapture coming in also. Now, to approach divine meeting, the first thing, what is faith? What's it all about? A few days ago, I was looking at my own hands. And I said, oh my. A few that had been lost since I was a little old chubby-handed boy, out the streets playing marble. Well, here I am, coming in to be an old man. Just a few more turns. I have a boy, spending my dinner back almost as far as I can. Just a few months has been yesterday. How quick things happen. Gone. I think for many of the boys who once played with me, they're gone. And yet we're taught that we're ready to eat your brother. How good. Did God make us to die like this? God made us to live forever. Sin brought on death. So remember, sickness is the substance of death, of sin. Sin is the first. Sin brought sickness. Without sin, there is no sickness. So sickness, the first I want you to know, is of the death. Now, it's an old-fashioned thought that I'm going to speak of here in a moment. But I'm telling you, modern people with modern ideas might differ with this, but I'm not taking my thoughts and teaching upon modern theory. I'm teaching upon the Word of God. And the Word calls these things spirit. When the deaf and dumb spirit went out of them, he could speak and hear. Is that right? The doctor says that his nerves died in his ears. Well, he was dead. Like this man, right away, kind of a weapon, dead. What does that? Well, the nerves never died all over him. Well, the nerves just died in his ears. Or maybe dead. Well, what makes that dead? Why did the nerve die? Now, a doctor can only work upon what he can see or feel. That's the only thing that a doctor can look through a glass. Or he can do a fluoroscope, an x-ray picture, or he can feel it with his hands, feel the growth or whatever it is. Now that's what he has to work on. But when it comes to the nerve, or the end of that nerve, he knows the nerve is dead, but what killed him? Now I say this upon the authority of the Word of God, it was a spirit which cannot be thinking. Now, here it is. Just closely now. And if you people for a night or two will bear with me, and then when other people come in, you encourage them, see, and tell them how to believe. Now, watch closely. Now, hey, here's my hand. I'm going to put a transparent band around it, so like that. While my hand will begin to come dead, circulation shut off. All right, I can't use that hand as a rock. I go to a doctor looks and you say, now, Mr. Graham, the only thing that I know is the nerves in your hand is dead. Well, I say, doctor, what killed it? Well, he said, I don't see no reason at all. I look and it just goes up so far, it's dead. I don't know, something happened there. Well, if he couldn't see it or feel it and he's cut in there, I don't see no reason. But the nerves just don't operate beyond this line. They just died from there. Now, but the hand's dead. Now what happened? Now, I'm going to take that back to the ear of a person, or the eye, or whatever, maybe in the part of the body. Through my thought of this, and through the belief of Bible doctrine, Satan found that. And there had no circulation. Now when I take this band off of here, I do not amputate the fingers and so forth, but here's the main, you have, before you can find the cure, you have to find the cause. But here's the cause. And we take, and we know that to remove that, now that hand would be well right now. But it would be different. And circulation will begin to circulate. It'll begin to hurt and burn and feel a little different. And after a while, you dig, and it'll be all right. If you give nature a chance, it'll function correctly. Now, disease germs, that's just the power of Satan when it's down the person. And when that spirit is cast off of there, nature will take care for itself. That person will go to marriage. They'll go, or whatever's wrong with them, they'll get well. Now, in my work, or my master, I deal with spirit altogether. Nothing natural. It's altogether spirit. And dear friends, I have to face this at the judgment bar of God. I want to go to heaven. I got a wife in heaven, I got a baby in heaven, I got loved ones there. Above all, I got one who died for me. Jesus. He means just as much to me as he does to any other guy. I can't help my critics say, I can only state what I know is the truth. And if you'll be truthful and sincere, God will bless it. God wants you to be truthful and sincere. Now, let's just find out what diseases are. I guess the number one enemy today, of course, is heart trouble. But that's not a germ disease altogether. But number one enemy in germs are cancers. Second is tuberculosis. Cancer is one of the major things. Let's speak of that just a moment. When you go over this way, I don't get a chance to turn my, I'm not turning my back to you, but I just kind of sort of talk in the face of this microphone. But notice, a germ. What is this germ? Now we take a cancer. What is it first? Why, it's a growth. Tumor, cataract, corner, there's growth. Is that right? And they become malignant and cancer. Well, a growth is a multiplication of cells. And let's take down below that now. Below that growth, it's a growth, a group of cells, then it goes down to the germ. Well, what is a germ? A germ is a teeny little cell. Teeny little thing that can only be seen out of the natural eye with this microscope, glasses. Up below that, then, it's got life. It moves. It's got life in it. Up below that, in that germ, it becomes spirit. And there's only two resources that spirit can come from. That's either from God or the devil. There's no halfway between. There's no halfway Christian. You ever see a drunk sober man? You ever see a black white bird? You never seen a sinner saint? You're either a Christian or you're a sinner. That's what I like about you full gospel people. You cut the line down, you're on one side or the other. If you're born again, if I'm born a human, I'm a human. When you're born a Christian, you're a Christian. Now, that's your, let me just take this a little farther. Do you realize that you came from one little germ? That's right. Now, there it is. You came from one germ. There was a time when you wasn't nothing. Where you say here, you there, any of you. Myself was one little germ. Well, the germ of life comes from the male sex. We know that. Here, for instance, we can have it's like spring. Birds lay their nest. And they lay their eggs. An old mother bird can lay their nest and lay it full of eggs. And she can lay that nest full of eggs without being with the male bird, too. And she could get on in and warm those eggs and hover and stay there until she got so bored so she couldn't get off the nest. And not one of those eggs would hatch. They would lay right there and rot in the nest. Is that right? Because they haven't been with the male, she hasn't been with the male bird, and therefore they're not fertile. That reminds me of all of these old poor formal churches. You just hover them around and twist them around and try to pass into the church. And that's what rotten eggs. If they haven't been with the male Christ Jesus, they're not believers in the first place. That's why what we need today is a good old fashioned clean out to get right with God. That's exactly what we're going to do. People who live in faith in God, they're to say it's right or it's wrong. God grant the day when men and women will be what they claim to be. That's right. Now, notice, but when the male sees God so ordaining that, that's the way we reason, we believe that Jesus was of a virgin birth. You hear a lot of the full gospel churches arguments concerning this. Look, I believe that Mary was a virgin. She knew nothing about any man, but Jehovah God overshadowed her and created in her womb a blood cell which was by himself by creating power, and from that blood cell came the man Christ Jesus. And he was the blood of his father by birth and birth, and that's the blood that I'm preaching about tonight that goes forth and heals that unadulterated blood of the Son of God. And friends, if you don't believe that, then you can't be saved no other way but through the blood of Jesus Christ, which is the blood of his Father God, unadulterated, no sex mixed into it at all. It was a creating birth. You believe that?
Yeah.
That's the true gospel, friends. Now,